Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and today is January 6th. We'd like to welcome you back to Beauty Talk and just to say thank you for your continued support. We are working on our fifth year, and we couldn't have done it without you. So please join us every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend and just continue to support and listen for great information, great education, and inspiration. Tonight we're going to be speaking with Laura Tyler, Season 3 face-off contestant. Laura was one of the last two women standing, and she's an excellent talent. I just really want to get in her head a little bit about what it takes to be a great effects artist. First off, though, before we speak with her, we have some beauty news that we want to share.
Yes. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. I'm happy to be back this year. And Happy New Year, everybody. Okay, let's get to some beauty news. C Makeup and Company, which is owned by Cece Child. She was a contestant on Season 3 of Face Off. She's having her first makeup brush giveaway, the C Makeup Company. All you have to do is follow them on Twitter at C, that's the letter C, Makeup Company, at C Makeup Company. Follow them on Twitter and then tweet them your New Year's beauty resolutions. They will choose three winners, and all you have to do, again, is just go out there and follow them on Twitter and tweet your beauty resolutions. Again, that's at C Makeup, at C Makeup and Company Brush Giveaway. So good luck to you all. I encourage you to go out there and just take a few seconds to do that, and hopefully you'll come up a winner. Marietta Carter Narcisse has a 2012-2013 makeup artist planner that's available on her website, MariettaCarter-Narcisse.com. This planner retails for $49.95, but she does have discounts available. For professionals, you can receive a 20% discount, and for students, you can receive a 15% discount. I'm waiting for Marietta to get back with me on the discount codes for those two discounts. And once I get them, I will put that information out there. So maybe if we can just save a little time at the end of the show, hopefully we'll have that information and we can read that off to you so that you'll know exactly which codes to input online for the planner. Again, that's professionals 20%, students 15%. So we'll make sure we get that information out to you. But again, the website is Marietta Carter hyphen Narcisse, NARCISSE.com. IMAX LA is going to take place again at the Pasadena Convention Center. It takes place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 18th, 19th, and 20th. I had to be careful not to say June 18th, 19th, and 20th. IMAX LA has moved from June to January this year and going forward, and the London show, which normally takes place in January, will now be during in June, during the time that IMAX would normally take place. The pro-only event will take place on Friday, Friday afternoon, and then Saturday and Sunday will be the just the general show on those 2 days. And there are a lot of interesting things going on this year at IMAX LA that I wanted to read a couple of things off to you. One of the things that really excited me this year was a red camera panel discussion. And if anybody knows anything about the RED camera, R-E-D, if you know anything about the RED camera, the high-definition camera, you may have heard Suzanne Patterson come on the show time and time again and talk about this camera, the infamous RED camera. There's going to be a panel discussion on that camera in L.A. I'm not sure of which day it's going to take place, but that should be really exciting. So I'm excited about that. That's one of the things this year. Also, there's an IMAX L.A. video contest taking place. IMAX needs a commercial, and they want you to direct it. So if you're interested, you can check out more information on that at www.imats.net. Okay, to shoot a commercial, basically getting information out there about the date change for IMAX. So you can check that out. One of the keynote speakers this year, Joanne Schlipp, will be one of the keynote speakers, as well as Howard Berger. They're both named as keynote speakers this year, so that should be interesting. Howard is more of a film guy, Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He's a makeup artist for those movies. And Joanna is she's more into makeup for celebrities such as Christina Applegate, Eva Longoria, CoverGirl, L'Oreal, Target, H&M, those types of campaigns. So she's more into beauty, red carpet, runway, things like that. Also, the Stila Cosmetics is coming back with their master class for IMAX. So you can, again, check out the website for more information on that. I know that's going to take place on Friday the 18th, I believe from 9 a.m. in the morning to 1 p.m. in the afternoon at the convention center. So, again, you can check out the IMAX website for information on that class. That's more of a professional paid class. IMAX is now having, of course, we all know about their the Makeup Artist Pro card, and they have the regular white card. And then there's a gold card. A gold card is more for, the professional makeup artist, I guess, who with the proper credentials. But now they have a blue card. And the blue card, which I think is pretty interesting, is it's their new edition of the lineup of the pro cards. And it's for the esthetician cosmetologist. So if you're an esthetician, cosmetologist such as hairstylist, nail artist, you have a cosmetologist license, you can submit those qualifications to IMATS and receive a blue card, and it entitles you to special discounts. You get 10% discount on subscriptions to the magazine, 10% discount on tickets to any IMATS. You get expedited IMATS entry via their new Pro Card registration line. You have access to Pro Card hours and events at IMATS. You have special invites to Makeup Artist Pro Card events. You have year-round pro discounts from participating partners, discounts and offers at the Makeup Artist Shop. You have unlimited networking opportunities, of course, that comes along with the IMATS series of trade shows. And then, there are more perks that are going to be added along, throughout the year. And then some events that you may attend, as a blue card holder may require you to purchase tickets beforehand. It may not entitle you to absolute free admission like the gold card. And then there was one other thing I wanted to mention. Well, two other things, actually. There's going to be a Face-Off Conceptual Design and American Horror Story panel at IMAX this year. So that should be pretty interesting. And that's going to take place at 3:30 on Saturday. Cast members from all four seasons of Face-Off will share their experience. So wait a minute, am I getting something wrong? It says all four seasons. Did they have four seasons or three?
No, the fourth season is getting ready to start this month.
Okay, so
we'll be airing this month rather.
Right, you're right, exactly. I forgot about that. Airing this month in January, and so I guess contestants from that season will be on as well. That's pretty interesting that they're doing that with the four-season contestants. But one other thing that I wanted to mention was about the Battle of the Brushes contest. IMAX, every year they have the two competitions, makeup competitions. One is a beauty fantasy competition, and then the other is the character prosthetic competition. And so this year in L.A., the theme for the beauty fantasy is the theme is the elements. It's going to be inspired by, but not limited to, the four forces of nature: earth, wind, fire, and water. And the beauty fantasy competition takes place on Saturday, and the time limit for contestants to complete that will be 2 hours. And then the character prosthetic competition, which will take place on Sunday, the theme for that is Oz, the Great and Powerful, and it's based on the upcoming movie. And this competition will be given 3 hours to complete that. And also in that competition, each of the contestants are given prosthetic pieces to be used in their designs, but they won't receive those pieces until the day of the competition. So that makes it pretty interesting to see what they come up with those pieces. And again, if you have more, if you need more information on the IMATS show, again, you can go to their website, imats.net, or you can follow them on Twitter at Makeup Artist Mag, and then on Facebook, Makeup Artist Magazine, and makeup411.com. And that's all I have for tonight. But also, one last thing. I keep saying that's it, but one last thing. KJ Bennett is going to be doing a class at Nigel's Beauty Emporium that weekend, and I'll get more information on.
Let me correct you on that before you go. It's not at Nigel's Beauty Emporium. It's a class that's sponsored by Rudy Makeup Academy and Friends Beauty Supply. And that's January 17th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the address for that is 5301 Laurel Canyon Boulevard in Valley Village.
Well, all right then.
Yeah. Just wanted you to make sure you had your facts straight. But no, it's going to be at the Rudy Makeup Academy. So check that out. They're going to be in town for IMATS. You might want to check out that class. That's the class that KJ mentioned when he was here the last time.
Okay.
So it should be interesting. So we'll have more details on that next week. But and the cost is $300. I do know that. But we'll make the announcement again next week so that you all will be reminded.
And I see Marietta, Marietta Carter in the chat room. So, Marietta, if you can hear me, please respond to my text message. I need information, or in the chat room, I need information on your discount codes for your planner. I know there's a professional discount of 20% and a student discount of 15%. If you could just give out those codes, that would be great.
Cool. Well, we want to go ahead on and start the show, and we have our guest on the line. So I just wanted to say, first of all, Happy New Year to everyone listening. And also, for those of you who want to call in and chat with us or our guests, or if you have a question, you can call in by dialing 914-803-4399. Again, the number is 914-803-4399. But I'd like to welcome to the show Laura Tyler. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Oh, wonderful.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you guys inviting me to come on.
Well, let us say this from the beginning really quickly. You were like our favorite, so I just wanted to
say
that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I thought you were.
It's just so odd, you know, like you're just a normal person, and then people stop you on the street, and they're like, hey, it's you, and I'm like, who am I? I'm nobody. Who cares?
I thought you were one of the most consistent ones on the show. There was not that many challenges where anyone could really say anything, you know, about your work. But of course, you know, when it gets down close toward the end, of course, the judges are going to really be sticking it to you. But, you know, we'll get into that a little bit later. But I just felt like you were one of the most consistent ones in the competition.
Thank you.
But again, welcome to the show. And I was watching your audition tape, and I know you were talking about, you know, getting on Face Off was not about the money for you. It was about seeing how far you could go.
Right.
And seeing how far you could go, is that what inspired you to even enter the competition? And then what do you think about how far you went?
Well, I definitely wanted to get onto the show, not, you know, just for money, but yes, you're right, for the challenge of it. At that point in my career, I'd been doing makeup for about 9 or 10 years, and I felt like, you know, I'd been doing the same kind of jobs, you know, over and over and over again. I think I've worked over here in Florida, in Orlando, for the theme parks, and we do a lot of prosthetic work, and we do a lot of film quality work, and I've been doing some independent stuff on my own as well, but nothing to the extent that I could, given the materials and the, you know, my whole, you know, the finances that, that Face-Off could. And I really just wanted to take my personal creativity to the next level. And that's what I meant by that, really. I just wanted to be able to see where my strengths and weaknesses were, because how else are you going to become any better if you don't know? So whether I went on the show and, you know, triumphed or failed, I would come out of it knowing at least what I needed to work on, and that was the goal. The goal was to see where my strengths and weaknesses were, and now I get to, you know, work on them, and I'm grateful for that and grateful for the opportunity.
Absolutely, I'm sure. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are self-taught.
Yes. Yeah, I've always been an artist. And apparently it runs in the family. And I say apparently because I never really knew my father. But in the last couple of years, I've been reconnecting with that side of the family. Mm-hmm. And my mother's side of the family, they all have dark hair and they wear glasses and they're very musically driven. They like music and they play the piano. But that was never me. I always liked to play with paint and draw and stick to myself, and it always seemed like I was the black sheep of the family, almost in this respect. I didn't need glasses, and I didn't have dark hair. It just seemed weird. But I was reconnecting with the other side of my family, and I connected with my father's son, and all his kids are blonde hair, blue eyed artists. And he's a big artist as well. And they're like, oh yeah, we're very artistic in our family. And I'm like, wow, okay, well then that's where it comes from. That was a nice thing to happen in the last couple of years. So yes, I've always been an artist. I've always liked to do things. I guess it's in my blood. I really guess so.
So now that Face-Off is over.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing now? What's next for you?
Well, there are a lot of opportunities coming up. I just got done with Grinchmas again over here in Orlando for their Who celebration. Every year they end up having a very gigantic event, and people come just nationwide to just enjoy the Christmas time with their families. And we end up doing a lot of makeup and prosthetics for the event. You can imagine we've got about 30 or 40 Who characters, and then about 7 or 8 Grinches a day. So it's a lot of makeup artists doing what they do best. And let's see, that ended this December, and then I've got a few other projects coming up, which some of them I can't talk about. Some films here and there in different countries. There's one in New Orleans that's gearing up, but and then there's some other opportunities here closer to home with another company I can't mention, but it's a very big company and they need a lot of sculptors. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a lot of lab work at the moment.
Okay, sounds good. When you got there in LA to do the to enter the competition, what was it, or was there anything going on or there that made you say, you know what, I really, really want to do this? Or did you ever feel like, okay, you know, enough is enough, I've had enough of this, kind of quit now?
Oh, do you mean like, so like as the competition kind of progressed, like what was the limits of it? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so stressed out about the time constraints. And, you know, to me, that is very very normal for theme park work here in Orlando. We would always be able to, you know, stay up all night and, you know, work 8 or 9 or 10 hours in the lab. And then application, to be given 4 or 5 hours for application is a piece of cake compared to some of the stuff they ask us to do for the Halloween events and the haunted attractions here in Orlando. But as you get on towards the end of the competition, definitely having to go in day in and day out without a day or two of break, yeah, it can seem very dauntless. There were definitely a couple of days where I was like, oh my gosh, if I could just have one day to sleep, that would completely recharge me, you know. But you got to find it. You got to find that passion deep within yourself and go, nope, I'm gonna stay positive. I'm gonna stay inspired. I'm gonna try to think of things that I haven't thought of before, or maybe that I planned beforehand.
Right. And you consider yourself an artist, a painter, a sculptor, you know, you mold, you airbrush, body paint. Mm-hmm. You do beauty makeup as well?
I do. I actually just got done with MAC today. I work over at the Pro Store here in Orlando, and I've been doing that for the last 3 years. We have airbrushes and airbrush machines in the store. Typically, the normal consumer wouldn't come in and ask for airbrush makeup. But, you know, sometimes you get the random bride or person that's going to the prom, or, you know, the person that's going to get, like, a wild photo shoot, and that's always fun. Usually they point them in my direction when they come in. and that's always a good fun opportunity to completely switch your brain into a different mode, rather than sculpting and character makeup and fantasy and horror, to doing something beautiful. So where you would put those shadows normally, you'd not put those shadows. You'd put more of highlights you just work in complete opposite. That's always good to get your brain out of that. The better I get at beauty, the better I get at horror. It seems weird.
Oh,
the better
wow.
I get at horror, the better I get at beauty, because you notice what needs to be hidden when you do beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do beauty more, you notice what you could be doing to make someone look uglier in horror.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I just want to remind those. I'm sorry. Right. Let me just remind those quickly who are listening, if you have a question or want to make a comment, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, you can call 914-803-4399.
And I just wanted to ask you, Laura, as a makeup artist, you know, you're doing special effects, you're doing beauty. From your work experience, what is it that you would say that makeup artists need to work on? Especially, I don't know, I mean, I'm assuming you do more effects than beauty. Is that right?
Personally, I would like to.
okay.
But right now
you're doing more beauty.
You know, as a freelance artist, you have to be flexible and be able to do whatever jobs come your way, because tomorrow it might be a movie, but today it's beauty. You know, today it's,
right.
it's working in the mall, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. So what would you say your advice would be to makeup artists? Because there are some makeup artists out there who, of course, they just love beauty, which is great. I mean, I think we all love beauty. But what would your advice be for those, especially nowadays when, you know, you never know. You know, makeup artists are now, you know, well, not now, it's been like this for years, you know, in some commercials they're required to do a little bit of hair. I still personally don't agree with that. To me, I think that's foolishness. But with that being aside, just as far as makeup itself goes, what would your advice be to makeup artists out there, especially if they're just like, you know, just a beauty artist or just an effects artist?
I agree with you with the hair thing. I mean, I always thought that hair is a completely different discipline than makeup, although there are similar attributes. I mean, you go to school for hair, and there are so many things that you have to learn. I mean, you can spend an entire lifetime just learning hair. Why would somebody expect you to be able to do both? I mean, that's clearly going to take anybody a long time. In any movie, I personally feel, or anything, maybe whether that's bridal or a photo mm-hmm. shoot, if a photographer wants some makeup, you're going to have to get a hairstylist too. And the same thing with makeup too. I personally think my strengths are sculpting, painting, and I do a mm-hmm. lot of lab work. But I even though I have good ideas for concept, conceptual design is an entirely different discipline, as is costume design. Costume design and costume making is an entirely different discipline, just like set building. And that's the great thing about movies. Movies are a team effort, and you need all these different people that are talented in their own separate fields to come together and work. And that's why movies are such wonderful, miraculous, like miracles. You watch mm-hmm. one, and you are completely immersed in this world that these separate people have come together to create. And, for one person to be able to do all of it, I think that's asking too much. It's great if a person can do that, but I think that it becomes diluted if you try yeah. to make somebody do that much. My advice to a makeup artist who wants to do various things, I would say it's good to learn maybe a little bit of everything. But, if you like doing one thing or the other, be happy with your chosen field. If you like mm-hmm. sculpture, like I like sculpture, then focus on sculpture. Clearly you're the happiest when you're sculpting, and why shouldn't you make your life less happy by not doing what you want to do? That's what right. I say. Just do what you want to do, because your work is going to be so much better if you're happy.
Right. But what if there's jobs out there, though, where they're not in need of someone who's good at sculpting? But would you suggest just an effects artist to kind of dabble a little more in beauty to just kind of get those skills where they need to be, just in case if they have to do a little beauty? Or would you just suggest just do what you love to do?
You got a really good point there, because the reality of the world is you can't always get the effects jobs. So sometimes a beauty or straight makeup or, maybe a beard hair laying is required. Now, do I prefer to lay hair all day? No, but if someone's going to pay me to do it, I mean, right. of course I'll do it. And I'll do it to the best of my ability, and I will find a way to make it fun. Be open to the idea of dabbling. But that, just because you can and are good at it doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right.
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the effects artist. What do you think makes a good effects artist?
I would say somebody who has a good understanding of color, somebody who has a good understanding of anatomy. Somebody who has maybe some fundamental course, has been taking some fundamental courses of art, like any student that excelled in their art class. I excelled mm-hmm. in my sculpture class back in high school, and then the theater class decided that I would be good for their makeup department as well, and I eagerly agreed, and they all became my guinea pigs to do whatever I wanted on. So I would say anybody who's got the hunger for it, anybody who wants to go out there and just experiment and isn't afraid to say, I want to do this, please let me do it. I guarantee you won't find a shortage of people willing to let you try.
Right. What are some of the basics that should be in an effects artist's kit?
I could go in my kit right now. It's like right across the room. I should just look through it. medical adhesive, Prozade is a great, wonderful thing. I mean, wax. I did this commercial recently where we were doing all this prosthetic makeup, and then all of a sudden the lead makeup artist was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot the scar wax. And I was like, I have it. So scar mm-hmm. wax. Let's see here, matte. The hair adhesive, like a spirit gum, if you will. I personally like having a two-part silicone piece, like you know, a third degree, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to have. Duo in immense amounts. I love Duo. the eyelash adhesive, the transparent one, not the black one. And let's see, what else? Cotton, latex, you know, some blood, some alcohol palettes, tissue paper. Oh, gosh, I could go on all day.
Tissue paper?
Yeah, tissue, you know, for burns.
Okay.
Sometimes I like to put
on.
You can make a really good dried lip, like a dried cracked lip with some
mm-hmm.
tissue paper. And that would look real good. You know, old age stipple, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if I only had to get it down to like one or two things, definitely a skin illustrator, like an alcohol activated palette.
Right.
I love my FX illustrator palette. I cannot do
right.
anything without that. I can't do scratches. I can't do scrapes without the colors in that little palette.
I know. Now, do you have like a bunch of those?
Oh, I do now.
Yeah, I know.
I only had one before face-off, and then after that I was like, okay, I guess I better go get serious about this. ended up buying the FX palette.
I'm addicted to them.
Oh, gosh, yeah, they're great. If I can find them at discount, that's even better.
Yeah, at IMAX.
I think it's best when you buy them at the trade shows.
Yeah, they do a good discount there, like a good 30 or 40% sometimes. So
mm-hmm.
definitely buy
yeah.
all that stuff at the trade shows.
Absolutely. That is good information, though, for a basic kit, you know, for someone doing effects, because I'm really pushing for a lot of artists to just learn, you know, a lot of beauty artists, rather, to learn some basic effects, because, you know, when I watch Face Off, and I see the different challenges that you guys have to do, I just feel like effects artists are really great artists because you guys have to know how to do a lot of things. Like you were talking on your audition tape, you were talking about how you started off with airbrushing and then, you know, the sculpting and the molding and then, you know, body painting came. And you all have to know how to do those things, all of those
mm-hmm.
things. So I'm listening to you, and then you're talking about how, you know, you've been working, doing the beauty thing at MAC for 3 years, and then you've been doing all these other things, the painting, the sculpting, you know, your art, you know, you have an art background. All of this plays into being a great effects artist, and you can really see it when you watch the show. You can see all of that. Do you feel like when you were on that show, there were certain areas that you weren't, like, that great at, but because you were maybe, say, for instance, you were maybe stronger at sculpting, that your, you know, your body painting didn't have to be so great? Or did you just, did you have to find a balance, I guess, so that they wouldn't come and say, you know, this was really great, but you kind of missed the mark here on the painting, and then that kind of destroys your whole, you know, your whole piece. How hard was it to find a balance and to kind of let your strengths outshadow your weaknesses?
It was a constant balance. I know exactly what you're asking, because when you only have 19 hours to make a complete character, you know that going into the challenge, you're going to have to let some things drop. I mean, at the beginning of the
mm-hmm.
challenge, you might have a million ideas, and
mm-hmm.
You know you're not going to have the time. You're not going to have time for every single one of those ideas to make this creature cool. So you're going to have to get the basics done. So you have to get into an artistic mind. All right, I have to map this out. I have to make the big pieces first, and then I have to paint the big pieces, and then I have to get on to the little pieces, and then I have to get on to the fabrication. What is the most important? So, for example, we can take the pirate challenge. With the pirate challenge, of course, I had to sculpt the face first because that's the most important part. You can't be in a makeup competition without having the face done. And then
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, well, I have to get the head done, because what's the face without this big giant shell? And that was the competition anyway, that we incorporate the shell. So I sculpt this entire big shell, and I go and I mold them. And okay, so the makeup is done. Now what do I do? well, we had about a day and a half left, so I said, I'm going to start making this big, giant fabrication of a shell. So, you know, because that's the challenge. Okay, so I started making the shell. After that, I started making the seaweed on his back, and then I started looking at other stuff. Okay, how much time do I have? Ooh, okay, I only have 3 hours left. I'm going to get the nails. Let's see, I'm going to get this. So you constantly had to find all the elements, the basic elements, and then slowly dwindle down to all of the tiny details, the things that were lesser important. And for an example, like on the challenge, the groom challenge, I decided halfway in that my sculptures weren't looking that good. I said to myself in my head, okay, well, if I can't spend a lot of time on the sculpture, if my sculpture isn't as good as I want it to be, then I am going to make an effort on the day that I paint him to do an incredible paint job over top of that to compensate for the lack of a sculpture. So there was always just a struggle to figure out, you know, going in you're going to have to sacrifice something. So whether that's going to be the sculpture or the paint job or the details or this or that, what is that going to be this week?
Mm-hmm.
And we were all doing that. I mean, there was like the zombie challenge. Roy had this amazing prop for that zombie queen, and he had it halfway made in the episode, but unfortunately he accidentally left it behind.
For that,
you can see it like halfway through the episode. He's making this this giant saw, and then it doesn't make it way to the soundstage because he left it behind. I mean, there's all these little tiny stories that, man, I wish they had more time to show. It's only an hour-long show, so of course they have to condense everything that you're seeing. But to us, it's not an hour-long show. To us, it was 3 days
forever
of working.
Right.
And if they could only show everything that I saw, oh my gosh, it would be such an entertaining show. But they have to get to the point, and the point is the makeup. And the makeup is really what people want to see at the end of the day.
Right. Right. Let's talk a little bit about the show. this season was very interesting to me. And I'll even say as far as the very final episode when they made the announcement as to who won. Like, you know, normally the first two seasons they have the show where they bring everybody back and it's a live audience and, you know, the judges make their decision and then you have a winner. Well, this time they let the audience, including us at home, vote, which just in my personal opinion, and I'm not going to get, you know, too into it, but I didn't like that too much.
Uh-huh.
And I think the reason, and I think for me, the reason why is because I knew that if they did that, that who I really felt should have won is not going to win. And I don't know, sometimes I think people at home when they do the judging, they kind of look at more than the work that you see to make their decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of had a feeling that, you know, who I thought should have won wasn't going to win.
Well, the judges' opinions are incredibly valid. I mean, they get to see the pieces, you know, as they are in front of them. They don't get, you know, they get to see it in the camera as well. And then they also get a photograph of it. And then they also get to see it in different lighting. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you don't get to see that they see on screen. I mean, there's lots of different angles and ways that they can, you know, look around. They can see the back of it because, you know, an audience doesn't always get to see the back of the piece as well. Because it's a TV show, and you can only have maybe a couple of, maybe 20 seconds to show each character for the audience, and only so many angles, and only in a specific kind of lighting, too. But not the judges. The judges see it in all different types of lighting before any of the filming starts. So I think their opinions are very valid as far as getting the entire angle, getting the whole story, and they know what to look for as far as sculpting. Concept person knows what to look for as far as concept. It is a makeup show, so sometimes the window dressing of the costume or the props or things like that, it can be distracting. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I feel like the judges are the ones who really know, you know, who really see the work and really know what's good, you know, what could have been better. They're actually right there. Whereas the people sitting in the live audience or the people at home, we're just going to go with who our favorite is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
not to say my favorite would always be who the winner should be, but I just felt like there was some strong work. And I know that they're looking at your work from, you know, what you just did, but I just felt like also there was, and I'm sure they do consider everything that happens the whole entire season, I just felt like there was some work there that was really, really good all season long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, we don't sit back and, you know, complain or talk about that because, you know, you move forward.
Yes,
and
we do sit back and clean.
Yeah, I mean the contestants. You know, they move forward, and you know, you use the show as an experience. Like you said, you want to know where your strengths lie, so you know how to move forward in your career. So I know it was a great and awesome opportunity for all the contestants. I know, and it's great exposure as well.
Right.
But also the season changed a little bit because I don't know how many people were left, but then they brought back some of the people that had been voted off, and they had a little contest, and then one of the people who was voted off was brought back on. Actually, she actually won the contest. Actually, was that kind of weird when they did that? Did that catch you guys by surprise?
Well, it did catch us by surprise. They definitely didn't mm-hmm. tell us beforehand that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, we were all very genuinely happy to see all of our fellow castmates. And that was fine. I had absolutely no problem with it at the time. But then as the episodes progress, of course you start to say, okay, well wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then
mm-hmm.
and then I think Roy summed it up as well. You know, it's difficult, but who's to say it's not in the rules either? I mean the rules are not up on a board, you know. They
mm-hmm.
The rules are the rules. So, you know, who's to say? Who's to say what is fair or not? I don't know.
I will say, you guys did look genuinely happy to see everyone come back. It was kind of weird to me because I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, they're bringing these people back, and then one of these people is going to be in the competition. And I know everyone's like, okay, this is kind of weird. But like you said, you know, who knows what the rules probably didn't say anything that, well, they made the rules and they know what they can and cannot do. So
mm-hmm.
it was just different. It was just really, different because I guess from a viewer looking on, I first thought it was kind of unfair. But again, just like you said, this is their show. They do what they want to do. It's just different. And then you as an individual artist just have to make sure that you're on top of what you're doing and your focus is about you and not who's entered the contest, who's left the contest, who's come back to the contest, but you know, focus on your work.
Yeah, well, that's very well said. I really couldn't say much more than that. I really was more focused on what I was doing most of the time. And it usually is that same way at any job that I do. I usually
mm-hmm.
focus in on what I'm doing. And, you know, everybody else around me might have problems. But honestly, if it doesn't concern the work, I don't really care. And I just go on with my life. Because there's always going to be that at any job, and
mm-hmm.
on the show as well. There's always going to be some sort of, you know, upset or controversy or you know, mishap at any job. So if you mm-hmm. look at the show, as I did, as sort of a second job, it was out of my hands. So I mean, if it's out of my hands, why should I worry about it? Because I can't do anything about it. So if I can't do anything about it, why worry about it?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, you can't do anything about it, but, you know, on this show, you're allowed to vent if you like. So saying that, I'm just going to say that I did not like that they did that. I personally thought it was very unfair. If you've been working hard and busting your butt and you've managed to, you know, stay on the show all this time and then to give, you know, those voted off an opportunity to get back on, well, then why did you vote them off? To me, it just wasn't fair to the people that were there. Nothing against the young lady that won. But personally, I just thought there were a couple of people that were better overall consistently from day one until the time they were voted off, which, I mean, I thought they could have easily been the winner.
Roy's endurance throughout that entire competition was amazing, and he is the nicest guy you have ever met. You know, he's a real Southern gentleman, and he really genuinely liked everybody. But man, he was there to work, and he did, and he busted his butt, and he'll be at my IMAPS as well, from my understanding. In fact, I have a class that I'll be overrunning. I guess me, Derek, and Roy will be there on Saturday. I think it's at 2:00. And we're all going to be doing something together, and we've done that before. We've all had, like, a class before. We had a class at Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia this last year, and we had a fun time. We always have a fun time getting together, and it's really no hard feelings to anybody. I think after the show ends, that kind of that cloud kind of dissipates. And we're all back to normal people. And we're like, oh, okay, well, that we survived face-off. And now that it's in the past, we can look at it as, okay, that happened. And like you said before, we can cope and we can move on to bigger and better things potentially.
Absolutely. I really liked we've had Roy on the show already, and I really liked Derek's work as well. So we'll have to get him on as well. What do you think about women? Of course, you're a woman, of course, but what do you think about women as effects artists? And where do you see the future in effects makeup as far as women are concerned? Because you know, we all know about V. Neal. We know that she's, you know, great and she's won all these awards. But, you know, a lot of people, when they sit back and think about effects artists, they don't really think that there are so many women out there. But the thing that I like about the show Face Off is that it shows you that there are a lot of women out there who are doing this.
Mm-hmm. This is true. I've met so many talented women within the last 10 years, really. I think there are just as many women in the field as men right now. Maybe not so many women sculpting. That's what I would really like to see. I'd really like to see some very talented sculptors. And I don't know why that hasn't come up more. I think there's two different fields, obviously. I don't know why. But generally speaking, everyone thinks that women are going to be the applicators or the beauty artists, and the men are going to be the lab technicians and the, you know, the people that do all the gore and gruesome stuff. But that doesn't have to be that way. But who said that? I know plenty of straight men that do beauty, and they do it every single day. In fact, there's two guys, you know, have wives at home. And they come in and they do beauty makeup on girls all day long. And I can only imagine what the girls think of them when they come in, but they don't care. And that's the trick. It's just to not care what anybody thinks of you and just do whatever makes you happy in life. And if that is sculpting in a field that people don't generally see female sculptors, well, that's okay. Because just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that we can't be good at it. And I'm not going to say it's going to be any harder. I think things are getting a lot better. I really do. I think that women are taken more seriously, and it excites by everybody to see women sculpting in the lab or whatever. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, but second season of Face Off, there was a girl who was on the show, Miranda, and mm-hmm. she got kicked off in like the second or third episode, but she came back, and of course, like they all do at the very end, and she was on Race's team of artists, and she ended up sculpting the face of that white demon at the very end.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't show it all that much. But the sculpt that she did was just amazing. Her sculpture on that show, had she been able to progress to like the third or fourth or fifth episode, really could have been, you know, amazing. But they never. Ooh.
Yeah, I sometimes think some of them get cut short before you can really see what they can do.
Yeah, I this is a reality show, so maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll have an all-star season. Haven't
right.
heard anything on it, but if they do, I hope they bring Miranda and other very, very talented people back. Also, Nick was an amazing artist.
Do you know Nick?
I do. Me and him worked together at Grinchmas this year over at Universal, and we'll be seeing each other again at IMAX. And he does a lot of body painting here in Orlando
mm-hmm.
as well. He's
mm-hmm.
very, very well known. And his body art is just fantastic, and he's becoming a very amazing sculptor as well.
Oh,
and I would really love to see more of his work. And it was sad that it got cut short to the point where
mm-hmm.
you know we weren't able to. So you know maybe they'll have that opportunity in the future. Let's see, there was another one. What was his name? Greg? Yeah, Greg in the first season was like that too. He got kicked off in the first episode, and
mm-hmm.
I think he had a lot more to show as well.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I would like to see for Face Off. I wish that you couldn't be kicked off in the first 2 weeks so that we could just kind of get a chance to just see everybody, see a little bit of what they can do, and then let the real competition begin. You know what I mean? So that way you can get a chance to experience some of the people because, you know, I mean, I know it's a competition and somebody has to get kicked off each week, but, I mean, the joy of the show is I really like to watch the artists work as well. So I would really love to see it where they maybe just have 2 weeks where they're not kicking anybody off. But, you know, I know they have time constraints and everything else, but that's just my wish for the show.
I wish they had a competition where every single artist was working on the same creature. That would be awesome.
Oh, and so, wow.
Instead, kicking us into, like, pairs of two, I would love to say, okay, so each of you have one extremity. So, like, say there's, like, maybe they do it in, like, teams of, well, I guess they did do that in season two. They had, like, all the girls and all the guys, but they were all split into different teams where each person had their own actor. So what if you had, like, five people just concentrating on one actor? So, like, one person has one leg, one person has the other leg, one person has the head, and one person has the body and the other legs and or feet, and everybody just concentrates on that body part. I would love to see that. Right, like a bodysuit challenge. That would be fun. I would love to see that, and I would also love to see an H.R. Geiger challenge.
Oh, wow. What was your favorite challenge of this season?
This season, I would have to say Star Wars was
Star
my favorite.
Wars. Okay.
Aliens are always fun. I'm a big nerd. I love Star Wars. I love Star Trek. So I already had kind of an idea if they had asked us, because I think the last two seasons they've had alien episodes. So I was pretty sure they were going to have another alien episode in our season. And like in the last two seasons they had, you know, zombies. So, of course, I was pretty sure they were going to have zombies again for a third season. So there's always like the standard stuff that you're like, oh, of course they're going to have that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I like that. I can't wait to see if they do an alien. You know, it's always a big if they're doing zombies and aliens, what kind of zombies and aliens they do this year. Because you've seen all types of aliens, but there's usually the generic ones that everyone always goes to, and there's the generic zombies that everybody goes to. But it's always the ideas within each person's own particular character that I'm always interested in, seeing the differences.
Well, tell us, Laura, what inspires you?
Let's see here. People that are passionate about their work inspires me. But specifically, I would say anything fantasy, sci-fi oriented. I love aliens and dragons. In school, that's all I was drawing. I was one of those like kids that just stayed in the back of the classroom and drew in their sketchbook all day because I was so antisocial. And I would love to read stuff on Dungeons and Dragons, fantasy, Lord of the Rings, that sort of stuff, elves, and it sounds corny and probably thinking, man, what a dork, but that's what I like the most, fantasy oriented stuff. If I had to pick any genre to kind of hone my skills in, I would say it would be fantasy. A lot of people hone in on horror. But I don't know, I can do horror, and I like blood and scrapes, and from a challenge perspective, it's challenging sometimes. But character makeup has always been so much more interesting to me. You think back on The Grinch or Planet of the Apes or basically anything Rick Baker did. You think back at anything like that or The Predator or anything like that. It seems more interesting to me where an actor can evoke a certain character, but only when he's in that makeup.
Right. Right. What would your dream job be?
Oh, my gosh. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a job where you can both sculpt the piece and paint the piece and apply the piece. I think Face Off is as close as anyone's ever going to get to their ideal job because really all we did was go in, we sculpted it, we molded it, we applied it, and we painted it. We were there from start to finish, and to have that kind of creative control over a project is almost unheard of, especially in the movie industry where they expect you to just do one thing. Okay, you're going to do hair? You're only going to do hair. Okay, you're going to do beauty? You're only going to do beauty. Okay, you're going to do application where you're only going to do application, and then you have to hand it off to somebody else to do painting. But in a perfect world, if my ideal job would probably be working for a large company like Rick Baker Studio or Sam Winston Studio, sculpting, applying, creating characters, doing what I do on Face Off, maybe not so quickly under the 19-hour restraint, but very, very similar to that. So I had a fun time. The whole experience to me was very positive.
Good, good. And our very last question for you tonight is, what is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me?
Mm-hmm.
Beauty to me is accentuating a person's natural features out. Everyone is already beautiful. They just need to accentuate it. That's what beauty is to me.
Very, very nice. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. I'm so happy we could finally get you on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Great conversation. And I may possibly see you at IMAT, so I will, when I get there, I'll,
That would be awesome.
Say hello.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for waiting on me. I very much appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll see you there as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. Much continued success to you, and hopefully we'll see your name on the big screen really, really soon.
Well, I hope so, too. That would be a dream come true. It'll be a red letter day. I'll make sure you know about it when it happens. Right,
please do. And also, if you're going to be doing any classes or appearing at any trade shows or whatever, please let us know so we can get that information out there to our listeners so they can follow you as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah, I will give you my email address so that I can keep up with your radio show and website.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Thank you again, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too. Have a good one. Bye.
Good night. To all of you who are listening, thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for joining us in the chat room as well. JK, Santara, Viola, Marietta, Let's see, who else is out there? Keisha White. Yeah, JK, Keisha, Antara. I know Sharon Tina wanted to come in the chat room but couldn't make it, couldn't get in, rather. So say hello to her and Happy New Year to all of you. Marietta, again, we will continue to put the word out about your calendar and about your classes. Again, put that information on the Beauty Talk Facebook page, and we'll make sure that everyone knows about it. And for all of you who are out there in the chat room, make sure you go out there and support, especially while you have a 20% off discount. And, again, can thank you for your continued support. If you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite. You can meet us over on the Beauty Talk Facebook page for a few minutes, and we will talk with you guys next week.
I have the code.
Have a great night.
I have the code.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so funny because my phone was on mute, and I forgot it was on mute, and I'm sitting here, and I keep saying, I have the codes, I have the codes, and I'm like, will you stop talking? And you continue talking, and I'm realizing, oh, I'm on mute.
All right, so we'll put the codes out on the Facebook page as well. But if you want to go ahead on and tell them now, you can go ahead.
Yeah, now Marietta typed them into the chat room earlier when she got on in the chat room. But for the 20% professional discount, it's BTR-IC-SD-20. And for the 15% student discount, it's BTR-IC-SD-15. And again, we'll put that on our blog as well as the Beauty Talk with Illusions online radio page, and it's here in the chat room.
Okay. Sounds good. Again, thank you guys for joining us for our first show of the year. Again, as I said earlier at the top of the show, we are working on year number 5. So we ask that you would continue to support us, continue to tell everybody about Beauty Talk. Stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter pages where we will announce next week's guest. And thank you guys for your comments about tonight's show in the chat room. And Laura is very positive and inspirational, and I knew that she would be. So I'm thankful that she was able to join us tonight. So have a good night, everybody.
Good night.